Some days it's just hard to come to attention, isn't it? I'm sure school teachers understand that phenomenon. Sometimes you can't get a peep out of people, and other times you can't get a peep in. Welcome. Welcome to our service this morning. It's good to see each one of you. If I had the time and if I could remember, I could greet you all by name. But I won't. Would you pray with me? Lord God, thank you for making it possible for us to be here this morning, to meet together, to talk, to fellowship, to see one another. We're glad we don't have to ask you to come and be with us because you're already here. You're here with us, you're with us everywhere we go, and when we meet as a group, you're here among us, and we thank you for that. Bless our fellowship here this morning, in Jesus' name. If you have an announcement, would you come forward right now?
VBS. It's time to sign up. Our VBS this year is going to be from July 28th through August 1st. And it is called something like God's Nomad Stars and Promises. And it's always one of my favorite things, which those of you who are used to my announcements from last year, I love VBS. I love having our community kids join us and all of us be together and having fun, learning about God, learning about our differences and our similarities, and providing our community with a way for those kids to go to Drift Creek. And, you know, they're going to be really missing it this year, this summer. So we need to make sure and have these slots filled. So we're putting up signups. They're actually already back there today. First come, first serve. So rush on back to get the primo job afterwards. And I have a bright yellow sign so that you can find it on that bulletin board and sign up.
This is the last Sunday for prime timers to sign up for this week's Wednesday when we visit the flower gardens in Aurora. If you see the people or know the people that are going, there is not a lot of parking spaces there. So if we can maybe coordinate and have a bunch of people go together in cars so there are not so many cars there, it'd be easier for parking. So just one more time to sign up for this.
I've got a couple things to say. If you haven't read the bulletin, we are going to start collecting coins. And if you run out of coins, you can always put paper money in. We take that too. And we're going to do it twice this month, twice next month, and I don't know how many times in August and September, but a lot of times. So your coins count, my coins count, all of our coins count. And I've been asked by a couple of people, are you still getting plastic bags, egg cartons? And yes, I'll take all you can bring. Because in the summer, we get a lot of produce at the food bank in totes. And we need to be able to bag it up to put it in people's food boxes. And the eggs, we get lots of eggs in 5 dozen cartons. So we split those up into dozen or dozen and a half. So bring your egg cartons. Don't throw them in the fireplace.
So Drift Creek, we had a board meeting this last week, and it looks like some good news. The road will be closed from June 17th through August 31st instead of October like we were thinking. So that's good news. And we're looking at tentatively having a work weekend, September 13th. I believe it's a Friday, Saturday, just because we need to get things cleaned up and ready for fall camp to start. And there may be a couple open weekends the second half of September if we possibly want to try and do like a church camp or something like that. We're looking to fill some of these extra weekends that we gained back from the Forest Service. So I just wanted to pass on that news to everybody. Thanks.
Thank you. We're going to be reading much of the first couple chapters of Acts this morning, but it's broken up at a number of places through the service. So if you watch your bulletin, if you want to follow along in your Bible, you can do that, or you can just sit back and listen. In the first chapter, Luke tells us about the last encounter that Jesus had with his disciples before he disappeared. We know that through that 40 days after his resurrection, Jesus appeared a number of different times to a number of different people. And I've often wondered, how many appearances did he make to people that we don't know about and that never got recorded in Scripture? Could have been a substantial number, because his disciples were way more than the 12. There were probably hundreds of people that followed him closely and cared about him. So in this first chapter, Luke tells us about that last encounter in the words of Jesus. And the disciples looking forward to worshiping a God they cannot see. That's been true through most of human experience. The God we worship is a God we cannot see, but a God who is evidenced everywhere around us. So from the first chapter of Acts, the words of Jesus, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one room. And suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Please turn to number 31. I've chosen this song, even though it is probably unfamiliar. Listen while she's playing. Because it is a Pentecost song, and to me the words and the music just fit together so well. So let's just sing in unison the melody.
Thank you.
Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, that is the sound of the wind and the observation of the flames, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one heard them, that is the disciples, the apostles, speaking in his own language. And they were amazed and they wondered, saying, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we can hear each of us in his own native tongue? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongue the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others mocking said, 'They are filled with new wine.'"
Number 301. We'll sing verses 1 through 3. 301. Turn back one page, number 300.
Thank you. Would you join me, please, in prayer? Holy Spirit of God, Comforter and Advocate, River of living water, flowing with us, within us, among us, and through us. Spirit of wisdom and power, of counsel and peace, of joy, of true repentance and reconciliation, of love immeasurable and unconquerable, whom the Father has breathed into the body of Christ, the new creation. Only through you can we be and do what Jesus the Son calls us to be and to do. So descend again anew and ever into open, willing, hopeful, trusting hearts, so that we might partake of your divine life and share it. As you hovered over the waters of creation long ago to bring forth life and harmony through the Word, so we invite you to renew through God's Word divine life and harmony among us. Make us even more the persons and a people whose spirits are touched by you and whose spirits connect through you with each other at levels deeper than words or activities or ideas. For, Lord, the world is full of destructive and divisive idols and ideologies that throw your creation into chaos and conflict again. We need ever your sweet and tender ministry of repentance, recreation, and release, now and until the day when heaven and earth are reunited around that river of life. You, Holy Spirit, even now are the guarantee and the foretaste of that reunion. You, Holy Spirit, are that river of life which gives joy to the city of God. You, Holy Spirit, are ever present and attentive to us. Make us even more present, attentive, and dependent upon you, we pray. In the name of him on whom you descended in the Jordan River. Amen.
Would Emma Gingrich, Elizabeth Massengila, Jacqueline Roth, Jace Roth, and Nina Chop please come forward? As we present you with the comforters as a sign of our love and prayers, go with you on whatever journey, wherever life's journey takes you. May you be warmed with our love. She wanted to do that because she made it. Okay, let's sing. We will not do the repeat.
Would the ushers come forward for the offering? Good to have you all here. Shall we pray? Lord God, in gratefulness for all you have done for us in the past and all that you continue to do for us in the present, we bring our gifts and our offerings in Jesus' name. Amen.
May we have the readers and the languages come forward to help Ken, please? So when it comes time to read the verses, then we'll go in our order. So verse 4.
So the last part of the reading concluded with mockers saying, "They're drunk." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and he addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day," that would be 9 o'clock in the morning. "But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Yes, and on my maidservants and men servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they will prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood, before the day of the Lord comes on that great and manifest day. And it shall be that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words."
Będę mówił o Jezusie z Nazaretu. Wskazał wam o Niego sam Bóg, który dzieła dokonał w mocy.
"큰 권능과 기사와 표적을 너희 가운데서 베푸사 너희 앞에서 그를 증언하셨느니라."
A este entregado por el plan predeterminado y el previo conocimiento de Dios.
Injula from West Africa. Awia gwengwe yirila ala nisiram balio bolo kafaga.
In French, Dieu l'a ressuscité en la délivrant des liens de la mort.
In Swahili, kwa sababu hata kifo kisingeliweza kumzuia.
Here, let's read what you just heard in English, okay? Starting together with men of Israel, okay? Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. This man, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to the cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. Amen. Thank you, everyone. I did not come up with my bulletin, so it's the message now. Very good. Okay. My words will be from Peter's words, borrowing from Joel's words some 800 years earlier than him. Hear these words again that Peter used to explain to his fellow Pentecost pilgrims what was happening from the prophecy of Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my spirit on all humanity. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Those are the words I'll focus on. Now, in our time and country and culture right now, we typically think of physical sexual intimacy as the deepest level of union and communion that people can experience. And hopefully the love that brings us all into the world is indeed a true experience of an expression of real intimacy and union in a marriage. But as the country western song puts it, just making love don't make it love. Monks and nuns who live in celibacy would say that they also experience great deep intimacy with God and with each other in prayer, in fellowship, in work and worship together, even that they are in those ways family for each other. It's said that Saint Francis and his first disciple, Brother Bernard, in 14th century Italy, could just sit together silently for hours, enjoying God's company and each other's, communing with God and each other silently at levels deeper than words. Today and now, in this service, this celebration, we are celebrating and marking two kinds of intimacy that are, I believe, the most deep and long-lasting and even eternal. And they are available to all of us, single, married, divorced, or widowed, or whatever. And one kind of intimacy available to all of us is the gift which we celebrate this day. The gift of God's Holy Spirit to the church and to each believer. The Pentecost outpouring of God's Holy Spirit is God's gift of Himself to us. And therefore, I speak of the Holy Spirit as a person, not it or a thing or a force, but as God giving us not just power, and not just spiritual gifts for ministry, but God giving us himself deeply, personally, intimately, unreservedly. The Holy Spirit is who and how God lives with us and lives within us and lives among us in a union and an intimacy deeper than our minds can fathom. Now, we can argue about that phenomenon, that experience of speaking in other unknown tongues, and whether that's still supposed to happen today. But if that's all that Pentecost is about, then it has so little meaning for us now. If that's all that Pentecost is about, the speaking in other tongues, then Peter's words from Joel to his fellow pilgrims do not make any sense. If the Pentecost gift to the church were simply a one-time event of speaking in other languages, then how can Peter draw on these fiery, apocalyptic words and images from the prophet Joel about wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below? They would be way overblown and overdramatic for us. And how could Peter also speak of the last days before the great and terrible day of the Lord, when 2,000 years have passed since he spoke them, and the world and the church continue to muddle and limp along as they did then? What does the normal life of normal, everyday Christians have to do with these end times, apocalyptic signs and wonders that Peter quoted from Joel? But, you know, questions like those I just posed overlook a Pentecost miracle much more grand and glorious and earth-shaking and apocalyptic than speaking in unknown languages. They discount and overlook miracle signs and wonders happening right here and now in this very sanctuary, happening today in our homes and in our hearts. And these constitute the apocalyptic signpost of God and of how God is fulfilling his promises and his purposes for a new creation right here within us and among us. And these miraculous signs and wonders, the most dramatic, apocalyptic, end-time signposts and fulfillments of ancient biblical prophecy, are our faith, hope, and love in Christ. Just as we have five physical senses for knowing the world, taste, touch, hearing, sight, smell. And just as those senses are given by God, we also have three senses in 1 Corinthians 13 by which we know and experience God. And they are faith, hope, and love. And these two, however much we have, are gifts of God. They are evidences of God continuing the Pentecost miracle among us. And too often we take these gifts of faith, hope, and love as something for granted, as though we have faith because we're smart enough to figure out God, or we have hope and love because we're virtuous enough to generate them on our own. But I am increasingly convinced, just looking at my own life, that whatever level or whatever kind of Christian faith, hope, and love we have that are in us, are gifts and workings of God, miraculous works of the Holy Spirit, signs and wonders of God engaged in our lives from even before our births. And when you consider all our human strugglings and failings and sufferings and the unknowns in this life, and how often the world does not make sense, any Christian faith, hope, and love appear to me every bit as miraculous, as game-changing, as earth-shaking, apocalyptic, and dramatic as the tongues of fire we heard about and the testifying in unlearned languages that happened on that Pentecost Sunday that we remember today. And here's some of what those astounding Pentecost signs then said at the time. You know, those tongues of fire hovering over the heads of the 120 tell us, among other things, that that glowing, fiery cloud of God's glory is back in his temple. After the prophet Ezekiel had seen 600 years before that cloud, that fiery cloud of God's glory, leaving the temple, going off into exile in Babylon ahead of the people where they would follow. But that fire has now returned with the first, that fire never came back from exile to the second temple with the returning exiles. But those Pentecost tongues of fire say that God is gathering now the exiles home to a new temple in which God dwells, a temple of flesh and blood, a temple made of people and not of stone. And God's fiery presence and power now dwell in us and among us in the warmth and the glow of that Christian faith, hope, and love again. And this glorious glow, this pillar of fire, is now dispersed among the churches and within the church and over the disciples, wherever and whoever they might be. And that's also what the speaking in other tongues symbolize, that this temple will draw in exiles, worshipers of every tribe, tongue, and nation into God's new temple. And as for Joel and Peter's language about the signs and the sun and the moon, those signs are Old Testament symbols for worldly governments and empires. And that they turn dark red or that they fall says that the old order of power in the world is being shaken and is passing away to be replaced by a new constellation of power, a new sun, moon, and stars. That is, a new kingdom. But don't look to marching armies or sailing warships to see this new world government or order emerging. Look again at the faith, hope, and love in Christ, in His church, and in His disciples, where God's dwelling is taking place within the meek who will inherit the earth. And this new emerging world order government is taking shape already in the hearts of all who call upon the Lord. And it is so radically different from the conventional suns, moons, and stars of the conventional world and its worldly wisdom, because God shares His Spirit so intimately with, as Joel says, your sons and daughters, on young and old, even on bond slaves, on men and women. Does that leave anybody out? Not at all. This intimate sharing of God with us and of God with each other does not then discriminate by age or sex or race or status or ethnicity. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on Him will have a share in this intimate gift. So my advice is don't bother with end time charts and calculations and speculations as to whether this or that president or this or that alliance of nations or this or that war or this or that act of terrorism show that we are in the end times. The end times of the Bible prophecy started on that Pentecost Sunday that we celebrate today. And God's giving of Himself through His Spirit to all who call upon His name. And His sending us forth with His testimony into every tribe, tongue, and nation. Those are the most earth-shaking end-time signs and wonders. And so are the faith, the hope, and the love with which God's Spirit cultivates and grows within us. And that makes Pentecost, then, the opening act of the apocalypse, the kickoff of the end times, the ingathering, its beginning, the beginning of that harvest of the angels that Jesus talked about, bringing in the fruit of God's word, the saints from all the corners of creation. And God's Pentecost Day gift of Himself, of the Holy Spirit, is then an offer of the deepest intimacy between ourselves and God and with each other. And it's an intimacy at the level of the Spirit. That is an intimacy and a union deeper than even the union of body or mind or thought or opinion. People can think alike and still be distant and unconnected from each other, while people can think differently and differ from each other, but still connect at the deep level that the Holy Spirit gives us. So let's look at our brothers and sisters in Christ and consider just how much and how deeply we share, how deeply we connect with God and with each other. Think of us as almost like multiple points of one iceberg with so much underneath, or at separate peaks of the one same mountain range. And that's true in each congregation, but also for the worldwide church. We are intimately, deeply connected with God and others, even with those whom we have not yet even met, through this intimate union of the Holy Spirit. We may not be able to understand their language, but through the intimacy of God's Spirit, we share that faith, hope, and love in Christ. And such intimacy of spirit with God and with each other is like a second kind of intimacy that we observe today, which is also available to everyone. And this brings us into talking about the communion service that comes now. That kind of intimacy is simply called eating, food. You know, as the saying goes, you are what you eat, because what we eat becomes us, down to the most tiny, intimate level of each cell in our bodies. And so through eating the nutrients in the soil and the energy in the sun, not only become ours, they become us. And that's why eating together can be such a relationship-building exercise, because we're doing something together that's so intimate, that's becoming us. And that, to me, is a way of thinking about and understanding some of the power of the communion service. Again, we've argued so much in the church, is Jesus physically present in the bread itself or in the sharing of the bread? But let's think about the transformation of bread and juice into us at the same time. Is there not, as I see, a picture of how Christ becomes us also through faith, hope, and love of the Holy Spirit? That's why Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. And that brings me to a few thoughts about the communion service that's coming up in just a moment. As we know, the Mennonite Confession of Faith says that taking communion is for baptized believers, because to be baptized is to say publicly that we want and that we have that kind of intimate relationship with Christ, a relationship in which His Spirit is mingled with ours and connects us with each other, just as intimately as how bread and wine become us in eating and drinking. And if you have not been baptized yet because you don't believe that about Jesus nor about the communion service, we're still glad that you're here. And no one is pressuring anyone to take and share the bread and the cup if they don't share these beliefs about Christ and communion. If anything, if we even notice whether you take it or not, we respect those who would show their respect for their beliefs and for this ceremony by not participating if that's not what they believe about Jesus. And if so, we hope you still stick around so that we can include you in ways even more generous than a little piece of bread and a tiny cup of juice. Like include you around our tables in our worship, our Christian education, our fellowship, and our ministries and more. If, however, anyone here might say, yes, that's what I believe about Jesus, and that's what I want from Jesus, and I want to share the bread and the cup with Christ and every other believer here as a sign of that, but I haven't stated it in baptism yet, well, we celebrate with you that belief and that desire. And I'd say, come talk personally with myself or with Jana, so that we can talk with you about really the most important thing, and that is how you can grow in this faith, how you can testify it, how you can seal it, even in baptism, and do so soon. That, I think, is the more important thing to address. And as for taking the bread and cup, no one here has to show their baptismal certificates before they take a piece of bread, so we're not enforcing that. Let your conscience be your guide. But again, if this is a faith or a belief or a hope or a desire that you have and have not sealed it in baptism, we want to know about that and celebrate it with you and move you ahead. For anyone in faith, hope, and love in Christ is already deeply, eternally, and intimately connected with God through His sharing of His Holy Spirit. And we are also then deeply, eternally, and intimately connected with everyone else who shares the Holy Spirit miracles of faith, hope, and love at levels deeper than words, deeper than the ideas we hold in common or not, is God's Spirit connecting our spirits to our Savior and Creator and to each other. And that's how Christ's life becomes ours. This is the bread and the wine that we eat and drink become us. And all of that through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please turn to number 508, and if you're able to stand, please do so. 508, we'll sing verses 1, 5, and 6.
Before I call the elders and Jan up to help with the communion service, again, I'd like to lead us in a time of prayer. And I will remind you of some of the prayer concerns that are in the bulletin. Just a second while I find mine. I want to draw your attention. I really encourage us through the week to look at and remember these prayer requests that are there from our denomination and our partners and within our own congregation. And please keep Riley Paradis in your prayers, who has surgery tomorrow for an issue related to her bladder. And as we have celebrated the graduates who are graduating today, I would say keep them in your prayers too. It's a major point or time in their lives. I invite you to join me in prayer that will close with the Lord's Prayer, and there will be some times of silence for us to reflect and prepare for the communion service. So please join me now in prayer. Lord, so fully and intimately do you give yourself to us through your Spirit, that you are to us and to this body of believers, like bread and wine, becoming our own physical bodies. And so through you, Holy Spirit, do we taste already that eternal life which Jesus promises and brings. It is your goodness and grace which enable us, Lord, to release anything that would come between us and the assurance of your love for us, and to release anything that comes between us and our love for each other. Hear us now in the silence of this moment, as your Spirit searches our hearts and illuminates any sin, any idols and false loves, any resentments or fears or guilt or shame, that we might confess them to you and release them to you in the assurance that if we confess these things, you are faithful and just to forgive us. So hear us, Lord, as we examine our hearts, our lives, our relationships, even now to you. Thank you, Lord, that you are indeed faithful and just to forgive, but also to cleanse, to guide us. And we pray that your Spirit would have his way within us and among us, growing us more into the image of Christ. Lord, we are one body, and we also remember any part that is suffering, anyone we know, anyone facing anything that is frightening, needs in body, soul, and spirit. Hear us as we pray for such ones needing a touch of your healing, of your help. Thank you, Lord, that we can lay these burdens and each other's at your feet, that we can rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep and share each other's burdens. Lord, we thank you for the blessings of this time, the accomplishments of young people now moving through high school and on to college and others beyond. Dear God, we thank you as well for the ministries in this congregation and our partnerships. We thank you, dear God, for the faith, hope, and love that you planted in the hearts here and that brings us together. Lord, in this time as well, we lift up in gratitude and thankfulness any other blessings, joys, items of gratitude that you lay on our hearts. All good gifts come from you, O Lord, and you are faithful. Lord, we remember that we are part of a bigger body around this world, the body of Christ, throughout all time and the centuries and places right now. And we remember that parts are also suffering. Lord, we pray for those who are tempted by poverty, persecution, opposition, corruption, violence, for that part of the church which is on the move because it has been displaced by war or by environmental disasters. We are part of one body with them. And we pray as well for those parts of the church that are tempted as well by power and prosperity, O God. For we know we need your grace, O Lord, to be faithful in whatever situation we are in. And Lord, as you said to Saul, before he was Paul, Lord, why are you persecuting me? Lord, you are present and active within us and among us, as intimately as bread becoming our own bodies. We pray that in this time of sharing the bread, in this time of sharing the cup, we would be all further inspired and empowered to live what we testify in the sharing of the bread and the cup. And this we pray in the name of him who is the bread of life and the one who taught us to pray with his whole body worldwide. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. A few more instructions about the communion service. The elders will be bringing the bread out to you that you may pass it along. And may I encourage you to, you know, as you receive the bread, the tray, and pass it to the person next to them, give them a word of blessing. So something like, God bless you, or God loves you, or peace be with you. as you pass the tray of bread to that other person and take it. And then hold on to that bread until we can take of it together. And while the elders are doing that, I've got a tray of some crackers here. And if there are any children who say, hey, I want to be part of this, and hold up your hand and I'll bring you a cracker, okay? And with a smile. And that'll be yours to share during this time as well. Again, hold on to it until we're ready to share the bread together. And then after that, we'll do the same with the cups. We'll pass the cups through the tray. And again, if you feel so led, give a word of blessing to each other. The blood of Christ was shed for you. Peace be with you. God loves you, or I love you, or something like that. Just a way to make this personable. And then hold on to that cup before we can all then take it together. And I think Jana and Craig will be providing us with some music during the time. Oh, just Jana. Okay, very good. Jana. Okay, very good. Thank you. So may I invite the elders to come up and join me, please? And Andy, may I ask you to hold the microphone for me while I give the words of institution? The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Please join me again in prayer. Lord, now and in the times and days to come, remind us that you are for us the bread of life, and give us such a hunger that we might feed upon you to our enrichment, so that your life is ours. This we pray in the name of him who is bread of life to us. Amen. You take the bread around. Something I forgot to mention earlier is that the bread is gluten-free. If that's an issue for anyone, does that leave anybody out who should be, or did we miss anyone? Then, as Christ is the bread of life, and as through His Spirit He would live through us, let us share the bread now in the memory of the one who gave His life for the life of the world. The bread of Christ, the body of Christ, was broken for you. Likewise, after the supper, Christ took the cup of blessing, blessed it, and said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you." He also said about the cup of wine in that meal that, "I will not drink of this cup until I share it with you in the kingdom." In that way, then, the sharing of the bread and the blood of the cup have us looking, yes, to the past, to Christ giving His life for us, has us looking to the present as we share His life through the Spirit, but also looking forward to the future, to the wedding feast of the Lamb, the Lamb's feast of victory. So as the cup is, the trays are brought to you, as you hold it for your neighbor, take a cup. Again, feel free to give a word of blessing, even simply the blood of Christ was shed for you. And then when we have all received the cup, then we will partake of it together. Has everyone been served who wishes to be? The blood of Christ was shed for us. And so as a token of our love for Him and certainly a symbol of Christ's love for us, then let us share the cup now together in advance of His kingdom. Please join me again in prayer. Lord, what we have considered in words and enacted in deeds, what we have shared as bread and as the cup, may we so live, and may the world see you, O Lord. Yes, your body blood, broken and bloodshed, but also you triumphant, resurrected, and in welcoming and inviting all to the wedding feast of the Lamb. This we pray in your precious name, the name above all names. Amen. And that concludes the communion part of the service.
Thank you for joining us this morning. This same Spirit of Jesus will go with you wherever you go. Peace be with you.
Please stand and turn to number 76 and sing The Journey. 76. Ooh.